If you can please open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, please. What's wonderful to know and to consider is God's love towards each and every one of us. And Isaiah does a great job in showing us the steps that we can actually search and look for God. So if you can please join me, I would like you to follow along with me. If you don't have a Bible, then just pay attention to the words that I'm saying, but what the Bible wants to tell you this morning. So Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, if we all have it, it says this: Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. May God bless his holy word. What's interesting about the Bible is that it's a book that is composed of words. It's composed of chapters. It's composed of many different things. What's special about these two verses is that, for example, in verse 6, there are two particular words that I would like you to take a look at. And not only two different words, but two different phrases that are composed of words. For example, Isaiah 55, verse 6 starts with seek. What is it to seek? To seek is to find. To seek is to obtain something that may have been lost or something that can newly be found. And Isaiah states, seek ye the Lord. So not only is he telling you what to seek, he's giving you an answer. He says, seek ye not your own pleasures, not your own desires, but it says here, seek ye the Lord. And it follows with, while he may be found. What's amazing to know about the gospel and about the message of salvation and about God's love is that till this day, there are opportunities for mankind, for those of us that are still yet sinners, that are still yet unsaved, to finally be saved. And the Bible here states, while he may be found, which means that the gates of salvation, that the doors of grace are still open, meaning that God is still willing to show mankind his mercy, his love, offering them the method and the way of salvation, whether we choose to believe it or not. So it starts by saying, seek, one important word. And an important phrase is, while he may be found. This following phrase is followed by yet another word. And that word is call, to answer, to speak. And it says, call ye upon him. Upon who? Upon the Lord, which is what Isaiah began in the first place. So not only does the prophet Isaiah wants us to seek the Lord, he also wants us to call upon the Lord, to call upon God. The reason being, the purpose behind it is yet another phrase. And it says, while he is near. We go through this world thinking of only of ourselves. And yet, a couple of percentage of the time, we actually think of another person. What's interesting to know is that a phrase that is repeated and is prolonged is the fact that many people go through this world saying, there is no God. He can't be found. We can't see him. So therefore, what's there to believe in? But Isaiah tells us to seek him while he may be found and to call upon him while he is near. Even though we can't see him, even though we can't hear him, even though we can't touch him, it is through faith that we know he exists. It is through faith that you are sitting here today listening to the message of salvation, it is through faith that we tend to seek what we can't find. It is through faith that we call upon Him for mercy. With that in mind, I would like to read you guys what Romans 3:10 and 12 says. You don't have to open your Bibles, but just listen to what the apostle says in the book of Romans. One of the reasons why we tend not to seek the Lord is because we're too busy dealing with our delights, dealing with our desires, dealing with our pleasures, finding things that prolong our humanity, but yet our spiritual life is cast away. The reason that we don't call upon God is because we don't wish to seek Him. Instead of, we always have the tendency of saying, well, God has turned His back on us, yet sadly, it's us who have turned our backs to Him. Isaiah 55:6, that didn't say there that God turned His back on us. It clearly states that He is near. And in reality, He's more closer than you could ever imagine. Romans 3:10, verses 11 all the way to 12, state, there is none righteous, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Let me say that one more time, because what's interesting about the Bible is the repetition of phrases, the repetition of words. And even though you may think that they don't mean a thing, they are truly important. When the Bible repeats itself, whether another verse that's in the Old Testament and is transferred to the New Testament, or there's a phrase that keeps repeating itself and repeating itself and repeating itself, it means for you to listen very closely. Because it's not me talking to you, but the Holy Spirit wanting for you to listen closely. And it says, there is none. An important phrase that I want you to follow along. There is none, it says, righteous. There is none that understandeth. It says, there is none that seeketh after God. And it says in verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. And that verse finishes with this. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not even one. There is none that understandeth, nor that seeketh after God. Because we are too busy seeking our own desires. Seeking to progress ourselves, whether at work or whether at school. That's all we tend to think about. And if we're lucky enough, we'll have time to think of another third party. But in the meantime, all we can think about is just me, 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 and dear old me. And that is a sad truth. But God wants us to think outside of the box. God wants us to think with open eyes. Yes, all we can do is think about us. Yes, all we can do is think about the individual person. But did you know that the individual person that we are is full of sin? Romans 3, verse 23 states, for all have sinned. And you know what happens because of that? It says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Words, phrases that at times we don't really consider, that at times we don't really pay attention. And right now you may be thinking, salvation, not buying it. I don't need it. It's just another salesman trying to sell another item. Yet I'm willing to say this with much respect. I am not a salesman. Rather, a person that is willing to share a gift that I have experienced unto you. And right now you may be saying, I'm not a sinner. Not at all. I'm the greatest, most righteous person on earth. And you may even say, well, the Bible says, man this, man that, and another man. And it said, and you may be thinking, it only applies to males. No, it really doesn't. The word man in this case means men, women, and children. God doesn't make distinctions. Neither do we. So if we don't make distinctions, then why should God? God wants every person of every color, of every race, to come, to seek Him, to call on Him, and to receive the message of salvation. That is God's purpose. Those are God's wants and His needs. And I can admit this, they are far different from the wants and needs that you and I currently have. And it says, for all have sinned. You might be thinking right now, the message of the gospel, it really isn't for me. But let me say this. This verse right here says, for all. Do you know what the word all means? It's a plural word. It's a plural word. Sorry, right now I'm battling between Spanish and English, so I'm like confusing. But it says, for all. The word all means every single person in this room. The Bible doesn't say for Samuel, which is my name, by the way, who has sinned. For Mark, who is the greatest sinner of them all. For Mary, who, God help us, she's even worse than all of us. It doesn't say that. It says, for all have sinned. That means I have sinned. That means you have sinned. That means that every single individual in this room has sinned. And because of your sin, God responds to this. You have come short of the glory of God. And you can say this. Well, what else can I do? I'm already a sinner. I'm already lost. I guess salvation isn't for me because I am short of the glory of God. And if you're thinking that right now, I just want to say you are in the correct path. Because considering and admitting that you're a sinner is the first step towards redemption. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, which is a couple chapters ahead, it also states this. For the wages of sin is death. But it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The reason why we don't seek the Lord, even though He could be found. The reason why we don't call upon the Lord, even though He's near, is Isaiah 55 verse 7, which says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We are too busy doing me. We are too busy following our desires, following our pleasures, that we think that Proverbs 14:12 is exactly how mankind thinks at the current moment. And they think like this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. And that means this. The path that we're currently on, the path that we're currently taking, we don't see no red flags. We see a bright future up ahead of us. We think that everything around us, everything that we do, everything that we touch, is perfect. Because that's how we think. We are progressing at work. It must be me. I have yet another day of life. It must be because of me. Because I go to the gym, because I'm taking my medicine, because I'm doing all of this. And it just keeps going around and around and around in a circle. Yet we're not giving thanks to the person that actually deserves it. Because the path that we are in, the path that we currently are taking, seems perfectly right unto each and every one of us. But Proverbs says this, Solomon says this, wait, stop. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but, there is that word again, The end thereof are the ways of death. Sadly, my dear friend, my dear person with us today, the path that you are currently taking, if it doesn't include God, if it doesn't include not even a glimpse of salvation, is going to lead to death. Regardless of how many times you might think there is no life after death, that is the biggest sales pitch. That is the biggest lie on earth. There is life after death. There are only two choices. One, you can actually seek, call, and find salvation. Or the second choice, continue on the path you're on without God, without salvation. And sadly, when you die, you will open your eyes in a place called the lake of fire. That is the future for those who walk in that path. The path of desires, the path of pleasures, the path of me, myself, and I. Yet we're not willing to look past that at all. What's amazing about salvation was amazing about God's love. And even though we hear this time and time again, to the point where we even catch ourselves saying this, and we say, there is no God. And the reason is that we have all gone astray and have fallen short of His glory. We have turned our backs on Him while He doesn't turn His back on us. Isaiah 55:7 states, after the wicked forsake his ways, their thoughts, their desires, it says, and let him return to the Lord. That's what God wants for you today. The path you're taking, it might be great. And I can say this with all sincerity and with all truth, that the delights, the desires, the pleasures that this world may offer, has offered, will offer, will never fill that void that you have in your heart. And I can tell you that because I have experienced it. It doesn't fill that void. Instead, it makes it even worse. That void, that gap in your heart, the only person that can heal it, that can fill it, is God Himself. No matter how many relationships or no matter how much love you can have in this world, it's not enough. And it's nothing in comparison to God's own love. And it reminds me of John 3:16, and which says, for God so loved the world. Yet again, it includes you as much as it includes me. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, God's love does not compare to all the fruits and delights that this world may offer. God's love does not compare to the love that our significant other shows us. Because we as human beings, we tend to forgive, but we don't forget. Yet God is willing to cast all your sins aside and never bring them up, yet never remember them. It says, and let him, that's you, and that was me, return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon you. But the verse doesn't really stop there. It follows by saying, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. If you're willing to ask for forgiveness, not to me, not to anybody else, but forgiveness to God, that you are a sinner, that you are lost without Him, He is willing to show His mercy upon you. And not only that, He is also willingly to pardon you, not just a little bit of your sins, not just a significant amount. Isaiah states he's willing to pardon you abundantly. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I have fallen short of the glory of God. And yes, my sins, their wages, produce death. But I want to leave you with this. Even though all those things I have said, there is one truth, and that is the following. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that, my dear friends, is a message of salvation. And that is what God wants from you today. He wants to offer you not a sales pitch, not something that you can buy through deeds or through monetary things. No, it's a gift. And it's the greatest gift of all. And it's God's love. May God bless his holy message.